Win stacks of cash by entering the 150K Crack the Code giveaway, brought to you by your local paper, now through July 14th. Look for the code on page A2. Then visit 150kgiveaway.com and submit your entry. You could win the grand prize of $100,000. Grab the paper every day. Get the code on page 2A and improve your chances to win tons of weekly cash prizes. Visit 150kgiveaway.com for details.
Hi, I'm Megan Henry with the Columbus Dispatch, and I'm on the phone today with Blade Woodburn, a 23-year-old from Zanesville who is living with the rare genetic disorder PKU, which we'll get into here in a bit, and he was recently awarded a rare scholars scholarship for students with rare diseases. So, Blade, first off, can you describe what this disease is and how to actually say it correctly?
Right. So, first, thanks for the introduction. I appreciate that. And second, so yeah, PKU is a rare metabolic disorder. There's about one out of every 200,000 people are currently living with it. And it's actually pronounced phenylketonuria. So, and what it actually is, it's a inborn error of metabolism. So there's a particular enzyme or a protein, call it, in your body that breaks down amino acids and converts them to other amino acids, and those come from the foods that you eat. And so that particular enzyme in me, it's called phenylalanine hydroxylase, or let's call it PAH. PAH doesn't work in me. And so what happens is I can't convert an amino acid called phenylalanine into tyrosine. And if untreated, that phenylalanine can actually build up in your brain, and it can cause neuronal damage. And so if untreated in development, it can result in mental retardation. And as you grow up as someone with PKU, if you were to ever discontinue your diet, so the diet is comprised of primarily low protein foods, just because you can't convert some of those amino acids, if you were to ever go off the diet, you wouldn't experience mental retardation, but you would see deficits in cognitive ability. So the average adult with PKU has an IQ score that's anywhere from 10 to 20 points lower than your average adult that doesn't have PKU. So long-winded answer to how to pronounce it, but that's more or less the gist of it.
Okay, and then when were you first diagnosed?
So I was diagnosed at birth, as is every other person living with PKU. It's actually a blood test that's pretty easily carried out, and it's just part of the normal blood tests that are done whenever you have a newborn.
And then, so with this no protein, what is your diet look like then?
So as an athlete, so I played rugby in college, and I was active all throughout high school, and I still power lift and bodybuild. My diet, obviously you need a lot of protein to do that. And so my diet primarily is a vegetarian diet as far as the food I eat is concerned. But then there are phenylalanine free, so that amino acid that I can't break down, there are phenylalanine free kind of protein shakes, if you will, that I can get, and I'm prescribed through my doctor. And so I supplement my diet with a variety of these different kind of protein shakes to help me hit my overall protein goals. But if you were to just look at the food I eat, it's primarily vegetarian. I eat pretty much the same thing every day. Not all kids with PKU or adults with PKU do that. I think it's just easier. So I pretty much do some type of, you know, veggie burger, something like that, some kind of carb. I most often eat like jasmine rice and then some kind of vegetable. And that's just easy for me. But yeah, mostly vegetarian.
Okay. Can you walk me through a typical breakfast, lunch, dinner, typical day for you and what you eat?
Right. So as I said, mine's not totally representative of the average PKU population. Mine probably more reflects my activities. But what I do on a daily basis is I'll wake up, I'll have about half a cup of oatmeal in the morning, I'll have a scoop of peanut butter, and then I'll do one of my phenylalanine-free shakes. And what's important to realize is that I'm currently on a medication called Kuvan that is actually made by BioMarin. So they're the founder of the Rare Scholars. So some people respond really well to that medication, and it allows them to incorporate small amounts of protein into their diet, like a scoop of peanut butter or even oatmeal, which has around 5 grams of protein per serving. That's not for every person with PKU. So that kind of ranges how well you respond to Kuvan, which is that medication, or how dysfunctional your enzyme is. It's really a spectrum. And in my case, I have the most severe form of PKU, but I'm also a very good responder. responder to the therapy. So I'm lucky that I can have oatmeal and maybe a scoop of peanut butter in the morning. But going back to what the rest of my day looks like, for lunch, I'll have a veggie burger and about a cup of rice, a cup of vegetables, kind of switch off between broccoli, asparagus, butternut squash, sweet potatoes, stuff like that. At some point in there, I'll have another one of my phenylalanine-free shakes. And then at some point in the day, I'll also have a phenylalanine-free protein bar. So it's pretty much all of these things are whey protein, which you hear about. It's what they sell at the stores. And what they do is they just break down the protein and they take out the amino acid that I can't convert and I can't digest. And then they put it back together and then they put it in a shake. So I usually have two of those a day. And then I'll work out, have a shake then. And then for dinner, I'll do pretty much the same thing. Veggie burger, some type of carbohydrate, rice, pasta, and then a vegetable. Yeah. My diet's pretty, I wouldn't say bland, but pretty standardized. You could just pretty much insert any type of vegetarian diet that you've either seen or experienced, and that would be possible more or less for someone with PKU, minus the beans and legumes, because they have a high protein content. And interestingly enough, so soy is used as a vegetarian substitute a lot. It's also the food in the world with the highest phenylalanine content. So it's kind of counterintuitive when you tell someone, yeah, I can't eat meat, can't eat high protein. Oh, so you're vegetarian. Yeah, I'm a vegetarian. They're like, oh, so do you eat a lot of soy? And you're like, well, no, because it actually has the thing that I'm trying to avoid the most. So that's what an average diet looks like for me.
That's really interesting. That's such an interesting thing to go throughout your day and be like, oh, I can't, you know, eat this or have to avoid this. And I don't know, I feel like it's so easy for me to just eat, not really think about what I'm putting in my body. But for you, it's so different. So what happens if you were to eat protein?
Right. So let's take the example. If today at 22 years old, I was to just completely go off my diet and start eating whatever I want, started eating steak, started eating, just drinking protein shakes willy-nilly. So what would happen is when you eat protein, it's kind of a long chain of different amino acids. And when you break those down, they get used for different biological processes. And if, like I said, if I was to go off my diet, I would get an increased concentration of phenylalanine kind of circulating in my blood. And eventually it would make it into my brain after it passes the blood-brain barrier. And what would happen there is there's no PAH to kind of decrease that concentration. There's no enzyme there to mitigate those levels. So it would build up in the brain. And what happens is there's this particular thing on your neurons called the myelin sheath. And so what it helps neurons do is communicate with each other. So if neuron A is trying to communicate with neuron B, these myelin sheaths coat the connections between neurons and they help propagate those signals. So from stimulus, so like when you see something to what you realize what you're seeing, that's like propagation of your sensory neurons and then to other neurons in your brain to tell you like, oh, I'm seeing a tree right now. So let's say I went off my diet, I get the increased concentration of phenylalanine in my brain. What that does is it breaks down those connections between neurons. It makes that connection between the stimulus, which is what you see, to what you're realizing, for example, that it's a tree. This is a kind of weird example, but to try to see it through. It just slows down the connections between neurons. So how that would manifest on a daily basis, you would be lethargic, you wouldn't be as quick-witted, you would just, your critical thinking skills would probably decrease, and the time in which it takes you to solve any kind of problems would decrease. And that all kind of translates to the average adult with PKU has an IQ score 10 to 20 points lower, as I stated, than the average adult. Because a lot of patients with PKU, they just discontinue the diet for a multitude of different reasons. I would say one is I attribute a lot of my success to my parents really emphasizing how important it is to stay on the diet. And then there has always been great metabolic dietitians in my life through Nationwide Children's that have really helped me along the way. We speak on the phone regularly. I don't have to go in and kind of set up an appointment to talk about what I'm eating or my diet or how I'm feeling. I can send blood levels in and they can kind of help me regulate my phenylalanine levels based on what I'm eating. And so, yeah, overall, I think that it's important to, when you're an adult with PKU, I think it's important to really be able to understand how you respond to different foods with phenylalanine and how your blood levels can actually regulate how you feel. And then being in tune with that and being able to talk to your physician or your dietitian. dietitian about that is super important, or otherwise you'll experience some of the symptoms I was talking about and not really be able to do anything to mitigate those symptoms.
And you sound like a pretty active guy, but what is it like living with PKU?
So my parents growing up always taught me never to use it as an excuse. So it was never an excuse growing up. It's kind of just something I lived with, and I never really saw it as a barrier. In some ways, even more so now, I looked at it as kind of a blessing, and that it allowed me to engage with what I was eating. It really drove my interest into science because, you know, having to understand what happens from a metabolic level, like just wanting to understand what happens in my body, kind of developed into an interest in science. And so I would say living with it wasn't, in real time, wasn't that difficult. But I attribute that a lot to my parents. Looking back, it probably was difficult from an athletic standpoint in high school, just because, one, I was kind of just a late bloomer overall, but two, it was difficult before the medication came out to get, and these new shakes that they didn't come out until I was probably 18, 19. It was really difficult to get the amount of protein I needed. And so I would say through most of my high school career, I probably underperformed. I was working out and doing the same things everyone else was doing. It was just much more difficult for me to build muscle because I didn't have the necessary protein. But in real time, like I said, my parents provided great support. They were always there for me, and the physicians and nationwide. They really made it an easy process, and it drove my interest in the science. It gives me something to talk about. So I personally, I don't see it as a challenge, but more just a personality characteristic of mine almost. So,
can you talk about how this has sparked your interest in the medical field and also what this scholarship is and what it means to you?
Absolutely. So as I mentioned, just kind of having to be in tune with what I was eating. As you grow older, you start to ask more questions. So it's kind of similar to the two-year-old who's always asking why. As you get older, you start to ask your physicians and your dietitians more questions. Well, okay, why can't I eat this? No, but like on a deeper level, why can't I eat this? What's actually happening in my body? And as they would kind of explain things, I would get kind of superficial answers, and then I would kind of go look it up. And my definition was always evolving of what PKU was and what I was telling people was happening inside my body. And as I became more familiar, I just kind of became more interested in metabolism in general. That got me interested in science in general. And although I'm not pursuing PKU research per se, I'm still very in tune, especially through health and fitness, with metabolic research and nutrition research. And just that being part of your life from such an early age, I think really is what drove me. It's kind of all I knew and all I wanted to know. It kind of just drove me to that interest, and I was lucky enough to be able to make it part of my career path. So doing something you love on an everyday basis is what we all want to do, I guess. So I think just having that experience really, really drove my interest in science. And then the second question was about the scholarship, correct?
Yes.
Right. So I would say that it kind of just is par for the course. Kuvan, so that's the first medication that BioMarin came out with for PKU. It really did change my life. It allowed me, like I said, the first thing I eat in the morning is oatmeal and a bit of peanut butter. That entire meal would not be possible without the therapy, the Kuvan from BioMarin. And so receiving a scholarship from BioMarin, as I said, just kind of par for the course. It's a perfect representation. I'm really honored to receive it. But yeah, it means a lot. It kind of just caps off the last 5 years where I've been a really good responder to Kuvan, and now BioMarin's coming out with a new therapeutic that could be even more impactful than their first one. And I've always been a proponent for them and the way that their therapeutics have changed lives. And as a smaller pharmaceutical company, they're really, really dedicated to their overall mission, which is developing therapeutics for rare genetic diseases. So it's an honor to receive a scholarship from a company that has such a mission that you can really get behind. And I think really anyone can get behind it. So as I said, it's an honor. I'm greatly appreciative of it. And I'm looking forward to see what BioMarin does in the future.
And then you are a pharmacology candidate at University of North Carolina in Chapel Hill then, correct?
Yes, correct. I'm a PhD candidate in the Department of Pharmacology, but my research is actually focused on HIV infection of the brain.
Okay, so then what is like your dream job? What do you hope to do with that background then?
Right, so I love research, I love science in general, but I don't foresee myself being in a research-intensive career my entire life. So what I mean by research-intensive is being the scientist at the bench. and doing the experiment. So that's where I am now. But after I graduate, I hope to actually work with pharmaceutical companies on the interface of science and business as a life science consultant. And so what a life science consultant does is they understand the science behind different pharmaceuticals or different medical devices, and they work with the companies to kind of gauge the sector and gauge the market and see how they can get their products to the market in the most efficient way possible and to get them to the patients that they need them the most, but also do it in a way that will allow them to make a profit to continue their research so they can continue their research enterprise. So it's really just combining both science and business to get therapeutics to the people who need them the most.
And then where did you go for undergrad?
So I actually left Ohio for undergraduate, and I went to a small school about 30 minutes from Tampa in St. Petersburg, Florida, named Eckerd College. And so my BS is in molecular biology, but it's a great school, a small school. I mean, I bet most of the high schools in the greater Columbus area are bigger than this school. It's about 1,500 to 1,600 kids, not too big, but yeah, Eckerd College. And to this point, I'd say it's one of the best decisions I've ever made in my life to go there.
That's good. That's good to hear. And then going back to the scholarship, kind of wrapping this up, what was it like when you found out that you were awarded one of the scholarships? How did that feel?
It felt great, honestly. It's a little difficult because there's so many opportunities for people with more well-known disorders. So if you look up, I don't know, Crohn's disease or pretty much any type of autoimmune disorder or something similar, there's ample opportunity for kind of scholarships, as there should be. But there was never really anything other than the PKU Guthrie scholarship that PKU patients were eligible for. And so it was nice to finally have something that I could apply for, and that was merit-based, and just to be able to be recognized for a little something, just living with a rare disorder, kind of overcoming that challenge. And it felt really nice. It was something that I didn't know I wanted, but I guess I had wanted for a long time. And it was kind of just a reward for hard work, I guess. And like I said, I'm very appreciative of it. And I'm excited to see what BioMarin does in the future.
Well, congratulations on your scholarship. Is there anything else you want to add either about the scholarship or PKU in general?
So I just want to say thanks for the interview. And then second, I'll just say for anyone listening that has PKU, the one thing I'd like to emphasize is just take your metabolic condition into your own hands. Try to understand as much as you can about it. Ask all the questions, because at the end of the day, you're responsible for your own health, and you want to be in the driver's seat as you get older. So having parents that are really on board and helping you become independent with regulating your diet, and having a physician and metabolic dietitian that really helps you understand what's going on and adjust your diet accordingly is super important. So yeah, just become the driver of your own health. That's what I would encourage.
All right, Blade. Well, thank you so much for joining us today, and be sure to check out our story at dispatch.com and in the Dispatch upcoming soon. Thank you.
Perfect. Thank you so much.